One of the things that has really helped me and allowed me to manage my full-time job and the three businesses that I run on the side is the ability to anticipate burnout, anticipate my own burnout. And it's something that I didn't just develop overnight. I'm not an expert on stress or burnout, but what I did in the past is I continuously observe myself, how I react to stress, the kinds of stress that really stretch me out, and what are the symptoms that I feel early on before I hit the breaking point. And so when I had a really deeper understanding of myself and how I react to stress is when I was able to prevent burnout before it really happens and to arrange my lifestyle in a way where I don't really stretch myself too far where I suddenly just feel like I'm done with everything and I lose passion and I lose interest in doing the things that I love doing. And I'm going to share all of it to you today.
Welcome to the new Work Your Way Up, a podcast channel for everyone thriving and striving to climb up the corporate ladder, start and run a business, or juggle both. You'll hear about the wins, challenges, what ifs, and could have been of people coming from different walks of life. Join Angel as she shares insights from guests and her own corporate and business adventure. If you're ready for some nuggets of wisdom, let's get started.
Hi there, it's Angel. Welcome to Work Your Way Up. As mentioned in the introduction of this podcast, today I'm going to share with you how I have, over the years, how I have developed this strategy of anticipating burnout and how it has really helped me juggle multiple things since then. The first time that I can remember I ever experienced burnout was when I was trying to start a new business. And I had a full-time job and a part-time job and also was enrolled in MBA. That was really the first time where at first everything was well and okay. I was trying to multitask and do a lot of things at the same time. But then it came to a point where I suddenly just felt so tired. I don't want to go out. I don't want to do anything. And I was just losing passion in the business, in my job, even in MBA, when in fact I was once very excited to finish it. So I knew that it was something really off. And since then, I've tried to become more observant of how I deal with stress, the kinds of stress that really stretches me out, and what are the things that I usually do every time I'm confronted with a crisis or with a stress. So I'm kind of like getting to know myself a little bit more as an external observer and then try to adjust a few things based on the things that I observe. Basically, I'm trying to be more self-aware on how I deal with stress. And I'm going to share all of that with you today, not as an expert. I'm not an expert in stress or burnout or anything like that. I'm just sharing based on my own experience. And I'm not sure how you're able to also apply it to your life or if you can apply it to your life. But maybe it's just another perspective as to how you can also deal with your own stress. The way that I'd like us to discuss this topic is to start with the word that usually is associated with stress, and that is resilience. You know how a lot of people would say that when someone is stressed, they would then question if the stress is really a real stress or that person just needs to develop a little bit more resilience. According to the American Psychological Association, resilience refers to both the process and the outcome of successfully adapting to difficult or challenging life experiences. So it's basically all about navigating and managing a difficult situation. The resilience, though, is not about tolerating stressful situations. Well, for me at least, the first thing you have to do is to acknowledge a stressful situation and then deal with it or manage it. Resilience is not about just tolerating a stressful situation. And what I'm trying to say here is, for example, if you are currently a full-time employee and you're trying to juggle a lot of things and complete a lot of tasks, and your boss continuously give you a lot more tasks on top of what you're already doing, thinking that they're needed and they're important, no one else can do them but you because you're the expert in the role, and you just say yes to a lot of things, you are actually tolerating a stressful situation. You're not managing it. No matter how much you try to organize your time, as long as you don't set boundary and you don't say no, you're not managing the situation. So you're not building resilience. Instead, what you're building is potentially a situation that could lead you to burnout. In my case, the first thing I would do to deal with that and to show my resilience is to obviously identify what are the things that I alone can really do, and then delegate some of the tasks. I think the resilience would come into play if, for example, you're trying to delegate some of the tasks to someone else, but you have to train them. If I know that I have to spend long hours for the next few days while training the new person, that's okay with me. I can push myself to really do that to show resilience. But if it's something that's expected of me, as in for me to spend long hours for the next months, 3 months or straight 30 days, that's a big no-no for me because I know that that could really 100% lead me to burnout. And so that's the first thing that we have to define really well. Resilience. Resilience is not saying yes all the time. Resilience is not saying yes and tolerating difficult situations. You really have to deal with it. The other thing I notice as well is that most people don't really act on managing stress until they have already felt some physical symptoms. Like, for example, until someone has started to feel like their immune system has weakened and they get fever and colds and cough because of their weak immune system, that's the only time that they start to try to manage things a little bit better. But for me, you need to actually act on it even before it happens, especially because most of the time the physical manifestation of stress comes in later than the emotional and the mental manifestation. So you don't know that you're actually already emotionally and mentally burned out, and yet you still try to continue doing it because you're not yet feeling anything in your physical body. And this is why I've heard a lot of people just go to emergency room or get sent to hospitals because they don't act until it's kind of like too late. This is very similar to the boiling frog apologue. Have you heard of it? It was a kind of like a fable about a frog that when you suddenly put a frog in a boiling water, it would immediately jump out and save itself from the impending death. But if you put the frog in the lukewarm water and then gradually increase the temperature, it will actually not perceive any danger to itself and will be cooked to death before doing anything. And so you can easily relate that to the stressors in our lives. If we are placed suddenly in a very stressful situation, we know exactly what we were feeling before that and the stressful situation now, and so we can easily act on it. But if the stress comes in tiny pieces every day, like the example I mentioned earlier where your boss gives you one task over the other on top of all the other things that you have to do, and you just always say yes and yes to it, thinking that you're trying to be a resilient, superhuman worker, superhuman employee, what you don't know is you're actually putting yourself in a very dangerous situation where you're not noticing, like the frog, you're not noticing that the temperature is rising slowly and that it's actually cooking you to death. And so in order to address that, and for you to really be able to act as fast as you can, whenever you can identify that there are stressors coming into your life or additional tasks that are in a way weighing you down, the first thing I think that you really need to do is to know that burnout is a real thing. Before we even talk about any advice or any tips on managing stress, I want to make sure that you understand and you acknowledge that burnout is a real thing. The reason I made this as my first point is because I know that no matter how many more people now talk about emotional and mental health, that there are still a significant number of people out there who don't really, like, they acknowledge it for other people, but they don't acknowledge it for themselves. They think that they're this superhuman who can just do everything that they want to do. And so I want you to know and acknowledge that it's a real thing. It can happen to you, to your loved ones, to your friends, to someone else. It's not just a matter of in the mind. It's real. In fact, in 2019, the World Health Organization has recognized burnout as a medical condition. That's how real it is. They define burnout as a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. Just the fact alone that it's considered a medical condition hopefully would convince you that it's basically like any kind of illness, that it would have symptoms and there's a way for you to prevent it. The next thing I think is really important is to educate yourself about the early signs of burnout. Again, if we're trying to anticipate it, then it means that we need to deal with it or manage it even before it really happens or even before we have physical manifestations of the condition. So World Health Organization has 4 indicating signs of burnout, like feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion. And this is not like one day you just feel exhausted and then the next day you're fine. It's more like chronic feelings of exhaustion. And then there's mental distancing from a job, feeling of negativity or cynicism, and decrease in work efficacy. So these 4 are very common signs of burnout in the workplace. Some of these things I felt way back when I really had a burnout. But also there were things that I noticed that I usually feel every time I'm very stressed. And one of it is I get easily sick, or I would really notice that I have a weakened immune system. And so I don't often get colds or fever. Like maybe in a year, I only get 2. And it's usually because it's a flu season and everyone around you has flu. My husband has flu, friends, colleagues. And that's the only time that I get it. But there is a huge chance of me getting fever or getting flu when I'm so stressed. And I can also even feel my temperature rising whenever I'm in a very stressful situation. The other thing I would start feeling is, or observing, is forgetfulness and brain fog. These two before I used to like interchange the two, but I kind of like now understand the difference. For example, forgetfulness is just me forgetting some details of things that happened or were discussed or some details of my day-to-day life, basically. Brain fog is more like, because my job entails decision-making most of the time. And there are days when I would try to think about a solution to a problem and nothing would come up. Like, it's as if my brain can't process information. I don't know how to better explain it, but that's how I feel every time I think like I have a brain fog. There are also many other symptoms that you can find online if you just search for it. And I think that it's very important because if you keep a list of symptoms that you could potentially experience when you're in a very stressful situation, you can then identify which of these signs you have experienced before or are experiencing now. It's very important that when you try to observe yourself a little bit more about stress and how you react to stress is, if you're currently not stressed, you really have to try to remember the things, events, and happenings when you were at a point when you feel like you were stressed so that you can try to remember as much as you can what you were feeling during that time. And so when you can pinpoint out from the list of symptoms which ones you have experienced before or are experiencing now, make sure to make a mental note and remember it. And then identify possible sources of stress. So what was happening back then when you felt like you are under a lot of stress? Or what is currently happening in your life that you're feeling very stressed about? You need to know what's going on in your personal life. What do you think is triggering it? What's happening at work? Basically everything, and try to assess what's going on. So it's very important that you factor in what's going on in the different aspects of your life, because usually stress isn't just caused by one event. It's usually caused by all the many things that's going on at the same time. And you have to remember them so that you can then, in a way, create this mental note as to this is the kind of situation that really stresses me out. So for example, for me, I call this mental note of the symptoms and the stressors or the usual stressors as my breaking point. So for example, in the past, the mental note I made about stress is that when I am doing a lot of things at the same time and I am compromising my sleep and I am just trying to juggle different things, and also when I start to feel like my immune system has weakened and I start to become more forgetful, and there are moments when I would notice myself not being able to think clearly, like having a brain fog, then I know that this is the kind of situation that I need to avoid as much as I can. So now that I have my breaking point, I then try to map out a routine or a situation in my life that I can consider as my tipping point. Tipping point, I refer it to a situation where I am almost burned out. So for example, if my breaking point is juggling four different things, if I feel like that is my breaking point plus losing hours of sleep, then my tipping point would be something that is slightly just before that. And so I know that if I am already juggling three things and maybe starting to lose my sleep hours every few days in a week, not every day, I know that this is already a point where I need to seriously deal with the situation and make sure that it doesn't last long, because I'm already at a tipping point and anytime I could easily break. So for example, in my retail business, there are months that we really consider as a peak season or peak months where the business would demand so much time from me. And one of it is every February. What I do during that time is, because I know that there's going to be an increased need for my energy and focus and attention during this month, I try to also in a way lay low on my full-time job. So I still do the things that I have to do, but there are a lot of days in between that month that I file for leave, because I know that I need to have the bandwidth, the mental capacity, and that's why I'm laying low my full-time job. Not only that, I even start preparing for a peak month starting January. So February is our peak season. Even starting January, I already try to manage my time to make sure that I'm not committing to too many social events even, and also that I'm conserving all my energy and attention to just running the business until the peak season is over. Oh, and by the way, this is also one thing that I really want to emphasize. Social exhaustion can lead to burnout too. So every time you think that the only answer to stress or to you feeling burned out is you go out, you have fun, you just, you know, mingle and meet other people, when you try to do it in many days at once and consecutively, it can actually also lead to social exhaustion. As you know, it takes a lot of energy dealing with people. And when you do that often, thinking that you're actually, because you're out and about, that you're trying to manage your stress, that can actually still lead you to burnout. So you need to be very careful with that. And that's it. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you've learned something, or I was able to share something valuable to you. And I'll see you again next week.